Hello guys, welcome to the Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode. Welcome to the actual week one of Australian Open review.
Recap show.
We don't want to do everything in 1 week, so we decided to do it today. Eugene, how are you feeling? I am sleep deprived. Let's start there.
Of course we are, but I'm very happy after watching Ben Shelton just now. So
listen, you scared me a little bit right there, Shelton. You gave me a little scare, I ain't gonna lie. You gave me a little scare.
Take it out, Casper Ruud. But no, it's been a good tournament, Lucy. I've really enjoyed, like you said, the sleep deprivation. Like we always know that that's what we're going to be in for, like when it comes to Aussie Open.
Yeah.
But I've actually enjoyed it. Definitely had a few like all-nighters. But it's just what you do, like when the Australian Open's on. So
yeah, we were supposed to pod yesterday, and I'm not gonna lie. When you said like, yeah, let's pod, I was like, all right, cool. I spent my entire day in bed sleeping. Like I got up, literally, I had my shower in the evening. Like I was literally in bed, just sleeping, waking up, because obviously work. Like right now, we're literally podding during my lunch break, gym, and you know, TikTok and everything, and actual watching the matches. So it's been a lot, but. Obviously the tennis itself has not just been a lot. The drama around the Australian Open has been absolutely insane. Okay.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Which is why our pod today is starting off with the one and only, the it girl, the one that makes you guys rattle too much. The actual star of the tennis, you know, of the WTA, of the actual tennis as a whole, Naomi Osaka, who unfortunately right now is no longer part of the tournament, but because of injury, just a reminder that she does have this injury a bit often, always around this time as well. Eugene, I don't know if you've noticed this, but this injury actually started once she actually got, after her pregnancy. So it's like an ab injury. You know, she was vocal about her giving birth to a child. You know, she didn't have like the best of experiences. So yeah, so I hope that she has a speedy recovery. Some of you guys were trying to say some stuff about her pulling out because of injury, saying that she's faking it. So yeah.
She definitely wasn't, because she called the trainer during a second round match. And it was clearly bothering her then. And like you said, like she has history of this like abdominal kind of injury in the past, where she has unfortunately had to like withdraw or like retire from some matches. So it's it's definitely like a reoccurring thing. So hopefully for her, like she can get over it and just figure out a way to kind of, I guess, work with it as well, because it does seem like it's going to be something that's going to be with her, like unfortunately for the foreseeable. So
for sure,
yeah,
for
definitely sure. speedy recovery
for sure.
But yeah, I think Lucy, we definitely need to like give our kind of takes in terms of like what went down. So, and honestly, before we start, like I don't want to, everybody's seen the videos now in terms of like the outfit, in terms of how she came out in the first round, and everybody was kind of having their, you know, say in terms of like how it looked and, you know, the moment it created. Like this was literally a news event away from, you know, the Australian Open and the sport in general. Exactly. Yeah. This made like global news, and not for sport, but just for the moment it created. And that, again, that speaks to who Naomi Osaka is. Like she's not just a tennis player. She is literally, she transcends the sport. Like, and that's an example of it there, right there for us in that first round. But one thing I don't want to do, and I don't feel like we should do, because like I said, everybody's seen the videos and like, you know, certain people's takes. I don't want to, I guess, encourage a pylon, let's say. So I'm not going to name the tennis influencer, but again, everybody knows who the tennis influencer is. But I do want to name Jamie Murray, because I'm disappointed. I'll say that much with what he had to say, and also BBC Five Live as well for kind of airing it and like creating more of a buzz around it, and then to kind of show you how stupid they looked as well. They ended up deleting the post. So again, I think that also speaks to how ridiculous, the thing was in the first place to even post. But yeah, Lucy, I just think more power to Naomi Osaka, and like salute to her as well for continuing to kind of just shake the table, like by just being herself. Like, and for me, that is like the most purest kind of and power. It's a powerful way to be, like in a sport like tennis, which is obviously predominantly white. She is a black, well, she's mixed heritage, so she's black and Asian, but she's very proud of her heritage, and her culture. She does try to bring that to the sport, whether it's through her fashion and just her way, like her being. So yeah, more power to Naomi Osaka. I mean, what do you have to say? I know you've got a lot to say, so let's
Do you know
get
what? It's
into
funny
it.
because a lot of people think that, but I don't, because, like you said, the problem is I can't speak without being respectful. So if I really say what I want to say, this will probably be the last pod of my entire
Stop
life.
it.
So I'm gonna tread really lightly, but I love what you just mentioned, Eugene. I think people really underestimate the power Naomi Osaka has outside of tennis. I think people are not grasping that. People are not understanding that, which goes to my next point. Now I have to. The issue with a lot of white people in the tennis industry is that they are having a hard time grasping that we're no longer in a time where there's like two or three black players at the same time. There's many of us, and it's going to keep on growing. I know you see them coming. I know you see them coming, and it's keep on happening, right? But most importantly, you guys are having a hard time grasping that they are those with personality, with confidence, who are not afraid to speak out loud. That's why we've had the history of so many black players in the past saying, "I wish I could act like this player. I wish I could, but I couldn't." Whereas the black players today, they're just like, "You know what? This is how I am." And now there's actually a community of them, whether they are in the top 100, whether they're in the ITF circuit, challenger, college, and whatnot. They're all coming in together and being like, "You know what? This is who I am. This is where he is." Right? And that's what's scaring you guys. That's what you guys don't like. And I wish you could just say it rather than coming in here telling me that, oh, these are the unwritten rules of tennis. These are the how you're supposed to act in tennis. Okay, let's talk about how you're supposed to act in tennis, right? You guys are saying that Naomi Osaka is taking away the attention from tennis. Alex de Minaur is playing some of the best tennis of his life right now. Yet all I'm hearing is wedding, 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 wedding. Is this tennis or TLC channel? Let me know, okay? You also have Craig, who is changing the Australian Open, making it seem like it's some festival, bringing in people into the sport without actually using tennis. None of you guys are complaining about that. You're only complaining about the fact that the place is too full, which is fine. But no one is saying, "Hey, Craig, you're not using tennis to bring in people. You're here bringing artists. You're here doing this. You're here doing that." Again, you don't care about the tennis.
Just to be clear, Craig Tiley, he is tennis. He's basically the chief of Tennis Australia. So he essentially kind of operates, and yeah, he owns. I say owns. He operates. He's the head of Tennis Australia.
Exactly, but my point is that none of you guys are going to these white people or the white players. Do you know how many disrespecting thing that we've seen from the white players this tournament? Whether it's, I'm not going to be saying the names, but whether it's one literally saying to the crowd, "F you, F you, F you." Another one where you guys, I'm seeing the tennis industry trying to change up his image, but the past is the past. We still remember, and I love him, but he was so disrespectful to his opponent on his match, not the recent one, the one right before that. There's so many things that's been happening, but yet here we are talking about Osaka, 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 tennis, tennis, this, that. Guys, nothing is going to change. You guys want to respectfully, Uncle Tom type of black person, but that's not what's going to be happening right now. Okay. Literally, you need to deal with the fact that there are black tennis players with personalities. Doesn't mean that they're disrespectful to the game. Doesn't mean that they don't know how to play the tennis. Doesn't mean that when they're playing a nice shot, they're cocky, because I'm seeing the comments. It doesn't mean that when we have so many good WTA players, don't get me wrong, but none of you guys want to mention the black players that are doing well, whether it's singles and doubles. Have you seen everyone saying their predictions to win the Grand Slam, and no one is mentioning Coco Gauff? I see you guys, but no comments. But this is literally my point. Like, get over it. just literally get over it. Stop using your unprofessional this and unwritten rules and blah, blah. Times has changed. Your vice president, for the Americans, your vice president is literally married to someone who's not even from your country. Your actual president is not even married to someone that's in your country. We're not in 1847. This is literally 2026. We're extremely multicultural with different type of personalities. Things are moving. Things are changing. Grand slams are not tennis social clubs. There are literally... a Grand Slam is a competitive sport. Craig has increased the money. Everyone is down the line. We, of course, I'm going to be cheering. I'm going to be doing that. And no one is saying that no one can't say their opinion. The problem is the vocab that you guys use to say your opinion. You know what you mean behind it. If you're going to be racist,
it's problematic.
If you're going to be racist, do it with your chest. Don't come and tell me these are the unwritten rules. You don't know how to act. You're uneducated, or you don't know how to, because you don't use these terms when it comes to these white players. And when we come to you guys and trying to say it, you're trying to say that we are just written between the lines. And that's what I'm saying. I had enough. Now that I'm seeing racist stuff, I'm going to say this is bloody racist. Let's all shake the table. Shout out to Naomi Osaka. Forget about the rest. I really wish she never apologized, and that is what we need to stop doing. These people are well aware of what they're doing. Like, they're trying to trigger us, and it's actually working. But you white players need to keep something in mind. We're not budging. Like, the players are going to be here. They're going to keep on winning Grand Slam. They're going to keep on winning titles. Even when we're not winning titles, we're going to be on them top 10 Forbes list making money. And that's what you guys hate. You guys, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, how dare you be here and... be make your own person. And, make all this
and
money.
Be the best.
And be the best. Win titles and collaborate with these designers that you probably never knew till Naomi even put you on. Like, how dare you? Why? It's like, hey, we accepted you here. Act like this. No. All I can hope and pray is that the black players keep on showing themselves, showing their personality, whether it's Ben being cocky, whether it's Naomi Osaka coming in with a fashion, whether it's Taylor Townsend being herself. You're not threatening anyone.
The list goes on. No, 100%.
The list goes on. So,
well said. I do want to say, just last, before we do move on to the second round match that she played against Swan Tristea, Lucy, fashion is subjective. So, like, it's down to, like, personal taste. And I feel like, as well, we live in a time now, and this is a social thing. Like, people are empowered and emboldened to, like, give their opinion and feel like it holds weight. And that's where this said influencer, who I'm not going to name, like, me personally, I'm like, who are you to kind of give such a take as well? And it's such a basic thing as well. Like, if I'm going back to, like, when I was a kid, like, my parents used to say to me, like, if you don't have anything nice to say about someone, don't say it. And, like, don't say it out loud. Whereas I think now we're in a time where people just want to say, like, they just want to talk in terms of, you know, to put themselves on a platform, on a pedestal, because they know it's going to get clicks. That's what's happened here. It has backfired, and I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I'm laughing. I'm actually laughing.
The thing is, Eugene, I'm not even saying me personally, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying I don't like this. It's the way that you say it, and that was the thing.
Yeah.
The way that individual, I can't even say a person, that individual said what they said was just downright disrespectful, and it was a thing where there was the language being used, even when that so-called individual called up, spoke about the fashion, and then also about her grunting and whatnot. The language, the vocab, the things that you guys are using, you're not bloody slick, man. We know what, just say it. Stop wasting my time.
On to the second round again, because I posted something, I got kind of slightly roasted, and free will, I did not apply to anybody, but the Serrano Tristea match. So Osaka won that in three sets. There was controversy there because she was saying come on between Serrano's first and second serves, which again is completely within the rules. And I want to shout out the chair umpire, so Kelly Rask. I thought she dealt with that so well, because Tristea was like, oh, you're not going to do anything. Like, you're not going to say anything to Osaka. And the way the umpire was so calm in just dealing with that situation, I was like, good on you, because she easily could have, I don't know, maybe.
I don't think that umpire thought that the situation would have escalated to the point. Well, I don't think anyone did.
Of course not. But I'm just giving her credit, because I feel like, yeah, she handled the situation well. And like, mm-hmm. I said, Osaka, she did nothing that was against the rules. Like, everything she did was within the rules of tennis. And also, That is what Osaka does. Like, we all know, anybody that watches Osaka, we all know she always says, come on, come on. Like, that is her thing. Between first and second serves, players do that as well. I'm sorry. Like, that is not the first time I've seen a player do that in a match.
No, so, this is what I'm saying. Everyone is insulting our intelligence, saying that no one does it in between, like, the points or the serves and whatnot. But my thing is, even, again, Eugene, goes back to my point of saying you don't like her fit. Even if you feel like what she did was wrong, I'm sorry, none of it warranted the way everyone was moving.
100%.
People were moving as if she shot someone. And that's what happens every time when it comes to Naomi and Sokka. And that's why I'm annoyed that she apologized, because it's like, I mean, I get it because it's her personality and she's right. I don't like to be disrespectful. I'm the same. I don't like being disrespectful. But once you start moving mad, I'm going to show you that I'm madder. That is just me. And that is, you know, how she is. But from having even some people's wives that have bigger things to worry about, or I hear leaving long comments.
Insane.
You know, so from players who are making polls on IG asking for their opinions when all they have is ITF titles in their cupboard and never smelled the second week of a Grand Slam.
Stop it.
Let's actually focus here. Let's really focus on some important stuff. Either way, like I said, Naomi Osaka, thank you. You literally shook the table. I was getting messages from people that never even watched tennis. They're telling me what's going on. My sister messaged me and she was like, what's this white woman crying about? This is what I'm saying. So at the end of the day, as much as you guys want to complain about, oh, this is not thing for tennis, it's bringing attention to tennis, okay? Since you guys don't want to be using your actual tennis brain to do something, then we will. And also, in the future, guys, you guys know we all share opinions here, but be respectful in it, especially when you have some sort of, like, connection. Because, again, I keep on saying it, you guys underestimate how much these players just keep be scrolling and be seeing your comments. Like, they all see, they all have burner accounts. You guys caught Coco's burner account not too long ago. She even added me, and I didn't even mention her name, nothing. All I literally just showed a picture of me and champagne, and she said, we up. These players are active. So even if you think you're just sharing your opinion, or yeah, it's just critics, which is what you guys have to do when you're being disrespectful, that's not what it is. And this is why I keep on saying to people out of tennis, and I don't condone violence, but we need to go back to ass whooping. This is the issue with today's generation. Y'all don't get your ass whooped. So you just come at the internet and just say
well anything. Said. Well, but
anyways, well, let's focus well on the said. Tennis, since this is what people apparently means. Want from us, okay? Because I'm very proud of myself the way I condoned it, because believe me, I was ready to go pow, 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 and literally start gun blazing, but I'm trying to make it in this tennis world, and I can't leave Eugene on his own, because who else would he find to be his
Stop
co-host?
It. Stop it.
So, should we move on to Victoria Mboko?
Let's go for the women, yeah.
Let's go. So, yeah, she made her AO debut, and she was stopped by the fourth round that I begged for. Tennis gods, thank you. She did lose to Aryna Sabalenka in straight sets, but I'm not going to lie, she played really well. She made it very challenging for Sabalenka. Sabalenka even literally praised her as well at the end of the match. But yeah, Victoria Mboko actually even said before that she really wanted to face Aryna Sabalenka. And from that match, you could tell why. But what did you think of it, Eugene?
Yeah, I thought her run in general was fantastic. Like, she was, for me, she played... Just personally, I enjoyed the match against Clara Towson. That was like my favorite match.
I think I missed that because of the time. Yeah,
yeah, of the tournament. It was such like Towson is she's a great player as well. Another young, I think she's from Denmark. Just a quality tennis player, and like the shot making during that match, like both of them, they hit the ball so big.
Yeah.
Both going for the shots and like just it was a proper battle. It was a three set match.
Mm-hmm.
And to Mboko's credit as well, she actually served for it in the second set against Towson. Towson broke, and then she had match points on Towson's serve. And again, Towson just played lights out, saved all those match points, took it to a third set, and then Mboko just like switched it on again. Like she just went up another level. And I said, yeah, the grit that she has, like, you can't teach that. Like, she literally has just such a tough mentality. And that, along with her, like, tennis skills, it's, like, it's scary to think, like, what she can actually do in terms of, like, where she can go. But yeah. The match against Sabalenka, Fantastic. And she started well as well. Like she did,
She
I say
did.
started well. She had break points on a on Sabalenka's opening service game.
Yeah, because Sabalenka, although her serve is good, her serves the first couple of games were really, they were off. So,
Mboko, she in her first service game in that first set, she held, I think, to 15 or maybe even to love. So very straightforward. And then afterwards, Sabalenka took over and it was a 6-1 set. But then it kind of got scary because I was like, oh damn, this could be like 6-1, 6-love. Mboko was 4-1 down in the second set, comes back to lead, well, 6-5, takes it to a tie break, and then obviously we all know how good Sabalenka is in tie breaks. And it was a quality match. I feel like Mboko kind of earned Sabalenka's respect as well.
Of course, definitely,
And yeah, she
definitely.
like you said, she says some nice things about her at the end, saying obviously she's a talented player, and like I think everybody knows like this isn't a fluke. Like this is someone who's gonna be up there like for a while.
For sure, for
And it's
sure.
gonna be interesting to see like when she does eventually break into the top 10. I think she's like 13 now. After the tournament, it might be 11 or 12. So
Crazy.
yeah, just fantastic. And I'm just so proud of her. Like this is her debut at 19 years old. And yeah, to reach the last 16, like it's pretty special.
For
So
sure, for sure. I'm really happy
fantastic
for her.
one.
Yeah, for sure. Up next we have Alicia Parks, who honestly, she personally to me, she really blew my mind. She had a very, very crazy first round against Alex Ayala. Obviously, Alex Ayala's gained so much support, popularity, and so on. Everyone was talking about her, but Alicia Park did what she had to do. She was dealing with a crowd that was literally being rowdy, that was doing too much. The umpire had even had to constantly tell them to calm down. You could tell that the crowd did have people that are not used to tennis, so they probably don't understand that you can't be cheering at every double fault like crazy. So literally, Park
Basically,
recovered from it.
it felt like the match was in the Philippines. Let's just be real. Like it was literally a
I
Filipino
mean,
crowd.
considering
Like
how close Asia and Australia is very easy for them to just, fly it down and get there. So yeah, Parks recovered from a bagel set and she won 0-6, 6-3, 6-2. And guys, honestly, it was crazy. Like you wouldn't even think that Parks was going to win that. I'm really proud of how she held it together. I do think also this needs to be a sign for people to really calm down with these young players. I was seeing people saying stuff like, oh, how can Alex Ayala lose to Parks, thinking that Park is some next scrub. Parks have made it even further than that at Australian Open before. I need people to be re to remind themselves that Ayala only had her breakthrough literally last year, and it was even mid last year. And I think because of the fact that where she's from, she's getting a lot of attention and whatnot. I'm not saying don't shout like the younger gens and the next generation and blah blah blah, but don't make it seem like a player like Parks cannot beat her, because the year before 2025, Parks was literally even winning titles. She won two singles and one in doubles, even though they were not like 250s or 500, they were 125. There was still something. Whereas that year, Ayala, no one, respectfully, no one really knew her. She was getting early rounds exits. So this a massive shout out to Ayala. Can I be honest with you, Eugene? I think she should have done better at, talking about like the crowd, because she was talking about it in a way of like, I'm so happy that you guys are supporting me, blah blah blah. Cool, yeah, great. But I know she can't control the crowd, but it's like at least touch a little bit on a massive shout out to Parks. I know it wasn't easy, like you don't think so?
Yeah,
No,
because
I
again,
think
she's only 20. Like, so this is all very new to her as well.
Eugene, I promise you, if it was the other way around, people expected Parks to say something. This
I mean, I
goes back to my double standards thing, is that we
yeah.
expect so much for the black players, but these other players are like, oh, okay, let's cuddle them. No, sorry. I don't care if she was 12. She could have said something. I'm not saying to the crowd to be quiet. I said thank you for you guys
But
supporting
no,
me,
I hear
blah
you.
blah. But
Acknowledge. No, I
say
hear you.
not, because what Parks had to go through was absolutely insane. But she went out at business as usual, like, thank you, I'm so grateful, blah blah blah. I hear that, and I hear again it's not her fault, but yeah, I think that could have been handled better. But aside from that, her next round, she had to play against Karina Mukova, which was a very, very good match, even though she lost that match. It was very good. Three setter.
19th seed.
You know, Mukova is one. She's one funny player. I would hate to face her if I knew how to play tennis, but...
Very talented. A lot of variety.
Exactly. But the way Parks handled it was really good. And if she keeps it up like this, we're in for a treat. And yeah, her next stop is... Ostrava is a 250.
Ostrava, yeah.
How did you feel about her?
No, I think everything you said exactly. That first round, incredible. To come back from a bagel set and to win in like such tough conditions in terms of the crowd and like just... She literally had like maybe four or five people in the crowd like cheering for her, which were
exactly.
Sasha Vickery and Litwina. Shouts out to Litwina. I don't know his name, but he has the French platform. He was also in like the camp. Along with like I think two other people, and like when Parks won the match, she like deliberately turned to them and like waved and like was like come on, because like, that was literally her only corner. But with Ayala, I think again at 20 years old, like, and we've said this before as well, like the young players coming up now, like it's very exciting on the WTA, but I think with Parks, and again we've said this before too, the Grand Slams, like she tends to kind of bring it, but now she needs to deliver this in the 250s, in the 500s, in the 1000s. Like she can play and like she can compete with like the top girls. Like she nearly beat Mukova in three sets. She beat Mukova last year at the French Open, which I actually forgot before the match. Obviously, I was reminded, but after, but she can play like with these players. So I do feel like, yeah, this should give her some confidence, especially that first round comeback win. And yeah, the performance against Mukova, although it was a defeat, like she played well. So a lot to take away. She did also play doubles with Diana Jastremska. Did you see that?
Oh, yes, she did. Yeah, yeah.
They are playing quite a lot of doubles together now. They did lose in the first round, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I do like when players do play both singles and doubles. Like I think for young players anyway, I think it's good for them to just like develop. So
yeah.
Shouts out to Parks, man.
Yeah. Next, Hayley Baptiste, who got knocked out the third round. She did lose to Coco Gauff, but it wasn't like a straight set thing. You know, it was three sets. She actually had so many. I think she had like 12 winners the first set, and Coco had zero.
She played really well.
She played really well that first set, but you know, Coco being Coco, she knows how to turn things around quickly. She knows how to study her plays, which I've always said. And it was 6-0, 6-3. Baptiste, that fitness journey that you were on, yeah, we can see it. And you can see that her improving her fitness and losing weight and whatnot has actually helped her to be better on the court. Because, yeah, I don't know if anyone else knows. Eugene said he didn't notice it as much when I messaged him. But I don't know if anyone else has noticed that Baptiste lost a lot of weight. She was training a little bit hard. I also had an insight from someone. I can probably say it in a couple of weeks, but just not now. But I did have an insight from someone. I did say that, she during her off season, she did actually work a lot on her fitness. So yes, a massive shout out to her. She did also have to face Taylor Townsend, who was a lucky loser, and Storm Hunter in the previous rounds as well. Australia, I don't know what you guys were doing. You put all the Americans in one side and said, yeah, figure it out. But yeah, it was kind of annoying that she had to face like literally two black players. I've always said she's always facing the black players, but massive shout out to Hayley. I'm really looking forward to her season.
I completely agree. I think it's gonna be another like career year for her. Obviously last year was a good year, but I think this year's gonna be even better. I feel like a title's coming, whether it's 250 or 500 level. I feel like she has the game. And again, she's very much like a Mukova in terms of like the way she plays, like the variety. She can mix it up. Very solid. And I feel like, again, Coco, she acknowledged that too, which is very nice as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, excited for Paul Baptiste. And again, very, very good showing at the third. Well, to meet the third round at Grand Slam is good going. So shouts out to her.
Yeah, for sure. Up next, this shocked me a little bit. Another round three exit, Jasmine Paolini. who fell to the 18-year-old American Iva Jovic in straight sets. Guys, before I move forward, this Iva Jovic hate that you guys have, wrap it up, okay? It's like,
hey, really, who's hating her?
Bro, they're like, why is Iva Jovic like still around? Like, they feel like she was like a scheme that had set up, and it's like, no. Okay, like, I looked back at some of her stuff. She had like her up and down, like 225, but nothing crazy. She had some tough battles. She's made it for a couple of semifinals
we've covered her in juniors because she played a lot of like junior doubles with a lot of black players.
So black Claire players, yeah. Green. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't understand. But either way, a massive shout out to Jasmine. But she was ill. Again, this is the second tournament again where she was ill. I mean, WTA final was more like a cold or something, but she had like an upset stomach. But to be honest, I feel like considering how she was feeling, she played pretty well, in my opinion.
That second set anyway, she definitely did step it up.
Yeah, exactly.
In the second set, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, would it be nice? It's hard to say something when it's like, a player is ill. You know, I think even doubles, they're already out, her and Sarah Irani.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, all I can wish for is a speedy recovery. You know, Middle East, she does tend to do well. So I'm looking forward to seeing how she's going to be in the Middle East. Around a first round exit for someone who actually did play for qualifying, Sloane Stephens. I was surprised by this exit, which was former world number one Karolina Pliskova, mainly because Pliskova has not really been playing as much. Obviously, she was out for a very long time due to injury. But anytime she was about to come back, I actually thought she was going to pull out our thingy of the
tournament. Let me be saying before, yeah.
Yeah, because every other tournament, she was like, yeah, I'm not playing. But again, that pay increase was like, all right, let me get that little five figures. But yeah, I missed this match, to be fair. But again, like I said, I actually thought Sloane was going to be it. But at least she got a couple of matches in her. She played qualifying. She got through. I'm really looking forward to her this season because I think I said already in the last pod, Sloane is one of those players that I actually thought was going to retire by now, personally. So kind of surprised that she's still playing. But we're going to see. I just want to see what vibe she's getting. What do you think?
Yeah, I feel like, again, coming through qualifying, that's going to give her a lot of confidence because before the Australian Open, she hadn't won a lot of matches. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she was out for most of last season with injury, but... Mm-hmm. I think to win those three matches to get through qualifying, yeah, she lost in the first round to Pliskova. She should take some confidence away from that. She's also vlogging as well now, like doing some vlogging, I see.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I feel like she's just basically just, I guess, just living in the moment. And who knows? Like, we don't know if this is going to be her last season or if she does plan to retire anytime soon. But again, I feel like Sloane Stephens can definitely play. Like, she's a Grand Slam champion. But mm-hmm. one thing I will say, Lucy, and I feel like this year has been, I say this year, this tournament has shown me,
mm-hmm.
like, the level is so high, man.
It's high.
And this, I'm talking about both men and women. Like,
it's high. It's
the
high.
Level is high. Like, so in terms of just, especially with the young players coming up now as well, like, they're bringing it. Mm-hmm. Jasmine Paolini saw with Jovic, like, these girls are here to play.
The man, you have guys like Teen, for instance.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah. So I don't think it's a thing of like you can just maybe get by on like talent and like you've got to be down to fight, like, because mm-hmm. they're otherwise you're going to get taken out. So, but yeah, I think Sloane, like, she can definitely play, and like, I hope she does play a lot more, and like she steers clear of injury this season, and like, yeah, let's see what she does. But
yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I feel like she can take a lot away from coming through qualifying because, yeah, she didn't win a lot of matches last year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good going.
Hi, guys. This is just a quick break. If you are enjoying our show and our podcast, please make sure to leave a review and rate our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other DSPs. This will help us to reach a wider audience just like you and get a lot more listeners so we can keep on building our community and give you these great podcasts as well.
And if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe.
And as you can see here, our beautiful merch. Make sure you go on Blackspin Global Podcast to cop our merch. This actually helps us fund this platform to keep on giving you these podcasts and most importantly, to attend to the tournaments. And now we'll head back to the show. Thank you again for listening and tuning in. And then we also have the defending champion, Madison Keys, who didn't drop a set till her last round, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. En route to the round of 16, she did not drop a set.
She lost to Jessica Pegula. Pegula's she's on smoke. She can't do what she gotta do.
Podcast co-host. Can you imagine me and you playing against each other?
Well, first of all, I gotta even hold up that racket. but again, massive shout out to Madison Keys. I think it was easier for her because I feel like a lot of people already didn't put that much pressure on her to defend her title. And she even said it herself. She was like, listen, people keep asking, but at the end of the day, that trophy's in my living room, so you can't take that away. And I've been saying it so many times. You can't take someone's Grand Slam away. It is what it is. I'm going to be honest, she has made it further than I actually expected, in all honesty. But mainly because of the way she has been playing the last couple of weeks and even the end of season and whatnot. So my expectations were low, but specifically because of that, and also adding to the fact that, again, as we said, it's super competitive right now. And it's not like she had the easiest of draws. Obviously, last year her draw was even tougher, but different energy, different everything. Now it's like, okay, we've got my Grand Slam. It is what it is. And I think even her, she seemed relaxed. She didn't look like she had like...
Very relaxed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So... she has it already. There's some girls that don't have it, so it is what it is. So as a shout out to Keys, how did you feel about her exit?
Again, like we said before the tournament, we kind of both said that we didn't think she was going to defend, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like that still doesn't take away the fact that she won last year. I thought, again, up until that Pegula match, she was very good, man. Like, just rolling through matches, didn't drop a set. Did come through a few, like, I guess, battles like in the earlier rounds, but managed to like get through them. And then obviously Pegula's a whole different kind of like proposition. Like, she's a sixth seed, obviously fellow American friend as well. So there's a lot of kind of elements at play there, but I think again, Keys can be definitely, she can be proud of that second week round of 16, and to lose to, you know, a top player, like paper, she was supposed to lose that match because Pegula was the higher seed, so no shame in that at all. Shouts out to Keys. Before we get over to the men, let's talk about Coco Gauff, because obviously she's now the last one standing for us.
Quarterfinals.
Yes.
She is facing Elena Svitolina. I don't know if I should say this, but I saw a funny tweet that said, obviously they were for Elena, didn't want Coco to go through, but it was still funny. And it was like, oh, somebody tell Elena that Coco is Russian, because the way, I'm not, guys, we need to say it, Svitolina, yeah, when she sees a Russian or better Russian, yeah, the smoke is different. Eugene, come on, the joke is funny. You know, it's a little bit funny. I know we shouldn't laugh.
I'm just trying to imagine if Coco was Russian.
Done. Finished, boy. But you know what? That matchup for me is going to be very interesting, because for me, I feel like it's kind of hard to predict.
Head-to-head's 2-1.
The head-to-head's 2-1, but I feel
in Coco's favour, but they're always tight matches.
They're always tight matches, number one. And number two, they have both changed a lot since the last time they played. The last time it was 2024. Svitolina is a lot more aggressive. She's a lot more, like, she has a lot more power and stuff. Whereas you have Coco, who's improved a lot on the forehand. You know, she's improved even with a serve, even though this tournament's been a bit up and down. But her game plan is still good. And I don't think Svitolina knows how to handle her defense as much, or she'll be thrown off. Like, I feel like Svitolina doesn't know how to take advantage too much of, like, some of the opponent's, like, weaknesses slash for her to take opportunities as much. That's how I feel. So I think it's going to be a very tough match. I do still see Coco winning this.
Yeah, no, same. I feel like Andreeva would have been a tougher match for Coco. I feel like she still would have beat her, but I feel like I was happy to see Svitolina beat Andreeva, because I feel like for Coco, it's going to be might get killed for saying this, but yeah, I feel like it's going to be an easier match for Goff. It's not going to be easy in terms of, oh, she's going to breeze through, but I just feel like I rate Andreeva really highly, Lucy. Like, I thought she's a very talented player.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I thought she was going to beat Spitali. I generally thought second week Andreeva was going to be here, like quarterfinals and stuff. I had her there. She was playing amazing.
But yeah, I feel like for Coco, this is a better matchup for her. So yeah,
there's a lot of debate like right now about that. Like people saying, there's a lot of people saying things. I have Svitolina, honestly.
Taking out Coco.
As in like a better matchup than Mira and Andreeva.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. But we'll see. That just on Coco as well, it was funny because she played obviously Mukova in the round of 16.
Mm-hmm.
And going into that match, Coco had a 4-love head-to-head lead.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
it's now 5-love.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time Mukova won a set against Goff.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy, during that match, I was not at all kind of worried or thinking, oh, she's going to lose here. Like, the match was on Coco's racket throughout.
Yeah.
So, and again, that's testament to kind of her level and like just the way she's able to kind of like manage a match at 21 years old. Like, this girl, she's special.
I just don't know why people are still yapping and being worried. I feel like the way that she has been playing, just because it's not perfect for me, is actually impressive and showing how much she can actually be a threat for these girls. Because 100%. It's like, hold on a minute, you're down a set, you're down this, you're having this issue, but you still found a solution. Why are we not talking about that? Why are we talking about the fact that, why is her forehand still looking at this? Why is her serve still looking at this? And no. Let's focus on the fact that the job is still being done. Yeah? So enough of the yapping, and we'll catch you guys at the quarterfinals and hopefully semifinals and finals. No pressure.
Stop it.
Now let's move to the men's. We did have... I'm just going to... say, did you expect for the men's where we had only one of our player to make it this
definitely
far?
Not definitely not.
Yeah,
I had I had at least two.
I was gonna say three, but he did have a tough first round. But before we say that, obviously the one person that made it all the way to the third round was Francis Tiafoe. He was looking really good. He did lose to Alex de Minaur. And guys, I'm not going to lie, if you've been watching Alex de Minaur this tournament, hey, it is what it is, man. This guy is on smoke. And that is why I mentioned him first when people were talking about, let's focus on the tennis. Let's talk about Alex de Minaur's tennis. Now, which wedding dress do you think his girl is going to be wearing, respectfully? But yeah, it was still a very good match, even though he lost in straight sets. It was actually really good, especially that first set. It was really, really good. Francis really did try. But
had some looks in the third as well. It was a tight third set, 7-5.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it was he was pretty close. But hey, it's not easy trying to beat someone who's playing good, especially at their home slam. On top of that, as well.
Quite a high seed as well. It was 6 seed, de Minaur. So exactly. Again, on paper, that he should win that match, and that's what happened. So
yeah. But Francis played pretty well. You know, he had a really nice fit as well. Shout out to Lululemon.
Yeah, I love that.
The fit was paying homage to Sierra Leone, you know, which is where he's from, what parents are from. But yeah, I'm really, the way he was playing this Australian Open made me excited for, it was a good start of the season.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
But yeah. In terms of the rest of the men, the one that shocked me the most was Felix having to retire against Nuno Borges.
Oh, my pronunciation.
Come on, man. Guys, by the way, shout out to the person that said, Lucy, you're getting better with the name pronunciation. Guys, I've been taking it. Listen, I have been, me and that ATPWTA website, I've been listening to the name. I'm like, this is how you say it. I'm coming, guys. I'm coming.
See more Lucy Deuce.
Oh gosh, but yeah, he was cramping in the third set and literally was just like, yeah, he said on his press conference that he wasn't used to cramping this early, so that's why he didn't want to continue. But yeah, that was the exit where I said where I actually didn't expect it. I thought Felix would definitely be one of the, I think for a lot of people,
Second
it was
week,
definitely
yeah,
second
100%.
week, especially with the way his draw was looking. But yeah, for sure. Another one for me that was shocking, and I'll let you pick after, but the other one for me that was shocking was, well, not shocking, more of like, I wanted them to be the second week, but they had a tough first draw, first sorry, round was Alexander Zverev, which was Gab sorry, Gabriel Diallo was had to face Alexander Zverev. He did take the opening
Exactly, yeah, it took the
set.
first set.
He took the first set, but even the first set, like that was something that's supposed to go straight forward. I think he was up like 4-1 or 4-0, something like that. And then Zverev just like, started like building up. But again, Diallo, who's now with a new team as well, which I didn't realize till literally just the match started. But yeah, I mean, oh, tough opening set, but he did what he could do. But I feel like if it wasn't for that, I think he definitely would have gone down a further. Eugene, what about you?
Yeah,
What
no, I
did you
think
think?
Felix, like you said, that was a bit of a shock. And yeah, never good to see a player retire. Gael Monfils as well, he went down in four sets. Obviously, this is his last Australian Open, so he went down to Dane Sweeney.
He's already practicing on clay. I saw a picture from some of the French
Oh, swear
journalists
down.
in
Okay.
Australia, but in Australia, obviously, because his wife's still there.
Still
So
there, yeah, of
yeah.
course. He did get like a nice presentation as well. So Craig Tiley, who we mentioned at the start, like basically presented him with like a gift, I guess, from the
Yeah,
tournament.
you know what? You tournaments, I need you guys to step up a little bit. That was kind of poor, Craig. All that money that you're collecting from the fans on the ground, you couldn't do a little bit more than that. I don't care if he didn't win a slam.
honestly, I feel like it kind of caught them off guard though, because I maybe yeah, they should be more better prepared, because of course he could lose at any point, but I think they probably expected him to win that match, but who knows.
I don't care. I don't care. Still, be prepared. Be prepared. I think they could have done better for both him and Stan, to be honest. Mind you, Stan has won a Grand Slam
I
there,
didn't see
so
Stan's send off,
they could have just done better.
but yeah, Diallo, very proud of Diallo. Like you said, tough draw to get third seed in the first round. Shouts out to Giovanni Pietropiccolo as well. So he had Sebastian Baez in the first round. Again, Baez has been playing so well this year. Lost in five sets to the Argentine, very nearly took him out.
It was
And
a good
Elias
match.
Zimmer, again, coming through qualifying, he lost in the first round to Alexander Shevchenko. That was a four-set match. And again, he was struggling physically as well, Immer. So it's tough. The conditions are tough. Like obviously a heat wall, which you're not going to get into because you haven't got time. But it's been so hot. And apparently it's going to be very hot today. It's going to be recorded on Monday. It's going to be very hot. Well, it's be Tuesday for them. So yeah, beware, guys. And just yeah, try and shout out to Tamani, because obviously he's out there as well covering it for The Guardian.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, just obviously stay hydrated.
Obviously,
Stay out the sun.
but we still have another of our man still here
We do.
who literally won his match before we started recording. Ben Shelton.
Any shouts?
I mean, hey, he went through that first round that everyone was scared of. He is like he heard
Set
everyone's like,
set him up. It
he's
set him up
like,
well.
you lot are out here talking about let me show you something. But yeah, he actually I feel like his recent match against Casper Ruud is the only one that was proper tough on him. Other than that, everything was smooth, quick, easy. And yeah, I got a little bit scared. He lost the opening set. Casper Ruud was playing much better than I expected, to be honest.
Solid.
But yeah, it was a bit rocky from Shelton. But Shelton, I'm gonna need you to clean that up because we got that Italian out there.
Next.
Next.
You know how I feel about that. I love it.
I
Because no
wanted to
one.
be I wanted to be during the day.
But the heat beating down.
I
Stop
need
it.
because Yannick's in a little 32 degrees and you don't know how to act. Yeah, I'm gonna need that during the day,
But
Craig.
just on Ben, like obviously before, like you said, reaching Casper Ruud, he hadn't dropped a set, and even against Ruud as well, like he was in control of that match, Lucy. Like, and Rude again, that's a former top 10 player, like,
yeah,
two-time Grand Slam finalist as well, like, serious opponent. Yeah. But again, Ben, he's shown he's also improved a lot. So everybody that's like saying, oh yeah, he's really taken out by Sinner, and like, listen, beware. Ben is coming. And like, he's for me anyway, and I've said this many a time, he is one of the guys that can contend with those that top two. Like, for sure. he is a proper competitor.
For sure. I think he's gonna be the first next American man to win a Grand Slam.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know which, when, how, but I know it's going to be him.
Before Fritz.
Where's Fritz? Exactly. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. I'm not mad at it.
Like, what are we talking about, mate? But either way, we'll see how it goes. Guys, sorry, my lunch break is over. I got to go back. My lunch break's over. But yeah, we'll talk more about so many other stuff, other players, the Heat issue, and also quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals once we're back. Send your voice note. Some of you sent it when we just recorded, so that was my fault, but I'll send a reminder earlier, so we make sure that we include it into the pod. Thank you for everyone who... senders, and
yeah, love that, guys. Keep them coming. Yeah, man.
Keep it coming. Keep it posted. Keep us on your socials. Like, share, subscribe, all of that thing. We'll catch you at the end of the Australian Open. Shelton, Coco.
Let's go.
Let's go.